Decide not to be an imposter. Every business starts small. Every big business today started small. Many highly successful entrepreneurs running dream businesses today started out in a spare bedroom, in a basement office, or at a dining room table, and some refer to this as bootstrapping, and it's a great way to start a business without spending a lot of money. So where's the problem with this? For some entrepreneurs, especially those who have a corporate background with all the benefits and perks of a real office and support system, bootstrapping in a spare bedroom or similar location can lead to something called imposter syndrome. The imposter syndrome is sometimes also referred to as the fraud syndrome and is a psychological phenomenon in which people are unable to internalize, accept, and feel good about their accomplishments. No matter what you call it, it leads you to Squishyville, an awful place where nothing happens. This term was first used in an article by Pauline R. Clance and Susan A. Imes, and it can be a real phenomenon where people struggle with success despite external evidence of their competence and the outward signs that they have achieved a certain level of success. Imposter syndrome is optional. In essence, you decide to be an imposter. Now, while this is an interesting and can potentially be debilitating struggle, for some, I'd like to spend a few minutes and talk about how much a less serious version of imposter syndrome that I believe many home-based entrepreneurs struggle with as they market and grow their businesses. Thankfully, today, home-based businesses are much more prevalent and widely accepted, but that was not always the case. I feel the need for another disclaimer here, some more small print. I am not a doctor. I have zero medical training or psychological training, so what I'm about to share with you is my own experience, that of many entrepreneurs that I know and have coached. It's just for you to process and hopefully help you. So again, I have no training in psychology whatsoever. You know, when I first started my business, I set up shop in my dining room. When I started getting some client meetings, I, of course, attended with my fancy business cards, brochure, and I had some nice clothes on. And we would always meet in my client's office, prospective client's office, or perhaps we'd meet in a restaurant. But other than that, I did what many entrepreneurs did. I talked up a good game about my experience and what I could offer, and all the while hoping they wouldn't ask me about where I was, where my office was, how long I'd been in business, etc. Now, I want to be very clear. I never lied, but I always told whatever truth was necessary to give a good answer. For example, when they say, "How long have you been doing newsletters?" My answer was over 20 years, because that was true, even if I started my own business very recently. So there are ways that you can answer things and remain truthful, remain in full integrity without, you know, giving away some information that some people may deem inappropriate or just not helpful. So to be clear, you know, when somebody asked me where my office was, I had kind of two ready-made answers, because I didn't want to say, "Oh, gee, I'm sitting at my dining room table. That's my business." You know, it's a little bit of head trash going on. Now, what I did, if someone said, "Where's your office?" my two ready-made answers were, "Well, I have an office in Eagle, Pennsylvania." And sometimes they'd say, "Oh, are you in the Eagle View Corporate Center?" And I'd say, "No, I'm about a mile from there." And about 90% of the time, it ended there. Sometimes someone would ask a third time, "Well, where exactly is your office?" And I'd say, "Oh, I have a home office. I'm off of Township Line Road." And invariably somebody would go, "Wait, that's pretty cool. I wish I had a home office. I wish I didn't have to commute." You know, we sometimes worry that we're going to be found out, or somebody's going to like just think less of you because you have a home office or you're brand new. To be clear, while I did worry about that initially, like so many people, it never happened, not even once. But the thought of being found out or feeling like someone will label you a fraud weighs heavily on the mind of many entrepreneurs, especially in startup phase. I learned later in my career that, you know, this affects about 70% of people, and they feel like imposters at one time or another. And entrepreneurs are, again, one of the largest groups to wrestle with feelings of worth, achievement, and self-esteem. Here are some signs that you might be struggling with imposter syndrome. Do you ever feel like you don't deserve your success? Do you worry that people will find out you secretly are not who you say you are? If you achieve some success, do you merely dismiss it as luck or good timing? Do you feel like you've tricked others into thinking you are more successful than you are? What I discovered and what I hope you will take from this is good news, is that just recognizing you are feeling certain thoughts and that you are not alone can be a big help and a step in the right direction. So let's tackle a few of these thoughts on how to reframe what may be concerns of yours. Again, I am not a trained psychologist. So do you ever feel like you don't deserve your success? Well, I'm telling you, in my opinion, you deserve all the success you can create for yourself, period. Amen. If you solve problems and provide value to your customers and they reward you for doing so, then congratulations. That is the very essence of good business. In my early days, I used to ask myself, how hard is it to write a newsletter? And while I've been doing it for so long, and it just seemed very easy to me, how fair was it for me to charge what I actually wanted to be paid to do it? There was a real disconnect there, especially since I was operating out of my dining room. Bam, imposter, or so I thought. And look, here's the bottom line. You know, and by the way, I want to encourage you to read the chapter on reread the chapter or re-listen to the chapter on Decide to Be Profitable. But the bottom line is this: you provide incredible value, you back it up with great service, your customers, clients, or patients appreciate how you make their lives better. By all means, you deserve to be handsomely rewarded. Whether you have a $5,000 per month office that you rent or you work off your dining room table is completely irrelevant to the value that you deliver to your patients, clients, or customers. Do you ever worry that people will find out you are secretly not who you say you are? This is a real issue of self-esteem and self-confidence, but it can sometimes also be an issue of exaggeration and overblown marketing. You should always operate your business in the same way you conduct your life, with honor and full integrity. I never once lied about my home office. Again, if somebody asked me where I was located, I said, oh, I'm in Eagle, PA. And where are you at the corporate center? No, I'm about a mile away. And again, 99% of the time, that ended it. Occasionally, somebody would press and I'd say, yeah, I have a home office in off of Township Line Road. And they would usually go, wow, that's awesome. Wish I could do that. If you achieve some success, do you dismiss it as luck or good timing? This, again, could be a sign of more serious conversation is needed with a professional, but in my view is that everything happens for a reason. There is no luck involved when building a successful business. There are great ideas, good value, massive action, and great marketing. Again, you deserve all the success you work so hard to achieve. Admittedly, there might be times when you decide a course of action that may be helpful along by timing of some external events. For example, you decide to purchase a stock today before a major announcement causes it to soar. Now, while you could charge that circumstance up to good luck or timing, the truth of the matter is you decided to buy that stock in the first place. In the long run, your successful dream business will result from your ideas and the value you provide rather than from luck or good timing. Imposter syndrome results from attributing every single success you have to luck. Do you feel like you've tricked others into thinking you're more successful than you actually are? Candidly, when I started out, I struggled with confidence and self-esteem. Now, some of this was due to my prolonged unemployment, my bout with cancer, etc., and the debt that I was creating, but I really felt like I was put through the meat grinder for 15 months. And when I started my business, my initial goals were not too big. This is also the reason, as I indicated earlier, I did not want to be a speaker, author, or do many things that successful people did. Part of me thought that I would be tricking others about the level of success I'd had if I did those things. However, I finally decided to do many things to get over my lack of confidence, including positive affirmations, hypnosis, mind movies. I learned a lot about these strategies and techniques in the books Think and Grow Rich and the new Psycho-Cybernetics. I also read and listened to countless other success-oriented books from names you've no doubt heard about. Applying the lessons and strategies of the books I just mentioned took time and effort. It is not simply a matter of reading success books and boom, you're cured. You know, you're on the way to a successful business. It's a matter of understanding the principles, adopting the strategies, and doing the exercises suggested. There was no trickery involved, and the results are not instantaneous. Success becomes a bit like a physical attribute. You're either 6 feet tall or you're not. You're either successful or you're not. If you are honest and authentic, you don't need to worry about tricking people about your success. It will be as naturally obvious as any physical attribute you have. Keep in mind this point. You define your own success. You define your own success. As mentioned earlier, I'm not suggesting that you ever exaggerate who you are or what you have done. You define your success, and then you work to achieve it. Achieving success, however you define it, quickly eliminates the imposter syndrome. Our great friend Coach Melanie has some great information to share with you about achieving success. Here's Melanie. There are four pillars of success. I have a copyrighted model that I use called the four pillars of success. They include knowledge, environment, mindset, and habits. I use this to help people understand where they can take control of the things they do that are unconsciously sabotaging their results. First, do you have the knowledge to be successful? For example, do you have the knowledge of time management with strategies and techniques to get out of overwhelm? What other knowledge, skills, training, and education do you need to run your business or move it to the next level? Next is environment. Do you have the systems, structures, and resources to be successful? For example, do you need to start building a team? Or if you have one, is it the right team for the job? What technology could you use, or what other support mechanism like a coach or a community, perhaps a mastermind, do you need to allow you to raise your way of doing things and get things done more efficiently? Third are your habits. A lot of people have really bad habits regarding time management and other areas of business operations. You need to look at the type of actions you take. You may be perpetuating the problem of overwhelm with misaligned habits. Are you someone who plans or fails to plan? Delegate or try to do it all yourself? Do you have the habit of overcommitting or undercommitting? And finally, there is mindset. You either have a good belief system that is supporting your growth, or you have a limiting belief system that causes you to see the world through a lens and filter that will never allow you to see what is possible. You might have the attitude that nobody can do it as good as I can, or why would I ever have anybody else help me? As a business owner, that thinking is going to get you nowhere. All four pillars play a part in your ability to love your business and make it grow exponentially. Wonderful words from Coach Melanie. So, folks, again, the bottom line is, what helped me most was finally deciding that enough was enough and that I was going to do everything I could to turn the confidence corner. The funny thing about confidence is that it becomes easier to achieve and easier to deal with from an imposter position when you are in massive action and making things happen in your business. At some point, I realized it no longer mattered where my quote-unquote corporate office was. What was much more important was the value that I was providing my customers and being rewarded for.